Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. Today's focus is women and the world of investment and gender equality in the workplace. So we've definitely made some good progress in these areas, but clearly not enough. And there's so much work to be done. And that's why we need to listen more to the stories and pay attention to those studies that we see coming out, and really to raise our voices about gender equality and making a difference in your companies. It's also important. But this isn't also just about women. It has to do with men. This involves men too. So perfect segue to my special guest. Joining me on the show is Martine Leteau. And I hope I said Martine's name as beautifully as she says it. Martine is actually one of the first female investment bankers in France. She's the founder and president of WIF, which is the Women Initiative Foundation. She's an international financial executive and an entrepreneur who's been very active advocating for women, mentoring them in the business world. And her book, which we're going to talk about, is Breaking Through: Stories and Best Practices from Companies That Help Women Succeed. And her book was published by John Wiley and Sons. Now, I could just go on and on about Martine's journey, but I think it's better that she shares it with you. So, Martine, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Welcome. Yes, I am very glad to be with you.
Oh, well, we're so glad to have you. And, in the introduction, I mentioned that you were one of the first female investment bankers in France, which is unbelievable. And maybe you would just share with us a little bit about your journey to get there.
Alors, first of all, I need to tell you that from the beginning of my career, I wanted to be an investment banker. And I was quite young, and I decided after being graduate from law and economy to be hired by one of the two most important investment banks in France and in Europe, Suez Bank and Paribas Bank. So I was lucky enough to meet the chairman of Bank of Suez. And I think he found me very naive, but he accepted to hire myself. And I become not immediately investment banker because I was too young, 22 years old. But after I became a commercial banker, and because I was a woman, nobody gave me customers. So it was finally a great opportunity because I got the name of this fantastic bank, and also I was very young, so I decided to call foreign customers, Japanese customers, and finally I was able to get more foreign customers for the bank, and it was an opportunity after because I got this customer to become investment banker. It was the beginning of the journey, and it was the most difficult part of my business life. And after, obviously, when I became an entrepreneur in investment banking, setting up my own investment boutique, it was also not so easy. But finally, once again, I succeeded to have customers, and that is the most important for an investment.
Yes, the customers are definitely important. Going back to what you said about not getting customers at first, when you were younger, when, you know, that chairman hired you and you went into the commercial, you were a commercial banker. Did you naturally just say, okay, if no one's going to help me, I'm going to look to foreign countries? Where did that come from? How did you even know to take those steps?
Because, you know, I knew that it was very difficult to have French customers because this bank has only major companies, international major French companies. So it was really impossible to have links from the beginning with this kind of companies. But for foreign company, because I have this name and, you know, and I was a woman and I was a young woman, finally, I think they were impressed by the fact that I got the position, and they did not know that it was finally not not the reality. And so it helps me finally to be underestimate was an opportunity, because nobody stopped me, you know.
Right. Yeah, nobody stopped you. You had that can-do attitude.
I am very positive in the life, and I have always the can-do attitude, you know, to consider that we can succeed, you know. And that's true. Now I take care of a lot of women in business, and I know that it's not so easy for a lot of women because they have a lack of confidence. But happily for me, I got, let's say, self-confidence because of my childhood, because of my parents.
So your parents really had a big influence on you.
Yes, it was my first mentors. You know, I don't mean that when you have no the right parents, you can't succeed, but that's true that it was a part of my, let's say, business success to have this kind of mentors from the beginnings. But in any case, you can find other mentors in your life. That's why, you know, I develop a lot of mentoring programs for women, executive women or women entrepreneurs, because I know that I got these mentors all along my business life, and it was a large part of my business success.
And it truly makes a difference. You know, speaking of being a woman, making your way in the investment banking world, you know, there's companies, and now I'm pivoting to your book, because there's probably companies that can help and maybe not so much. So maybe you could share just a little bit about Breaking Through, and what are some of those best practices from companies that help women to succeed?
First of all, I must tell you that before my motivation to write this book was the facts. And the facts are for women entrepreneurs after 3 years, it's less than 15% of the total entrepreneurs. And it's true in France, in Europe, in the US, and in Canada. So low figure. And in terms of inside companies, I explain, you know, I have an explanation. If you take the, let's say, Elizabeth and John with the same graduation, entering in the same company with the same salary, after, you know, the first two position, John will have one chance out of 10 to get in the executive committee, and Elizabeth one chance to obtain the position. So, you know, what I wanted to explain in my book is you must have, the company must have gender equality policy and develop mentoring programs for women entrepreneurs or women executives, including men and women mentors, because it's really important that men and women are mentors.
That's right, because we're all working together and we all have to learn to take this forward. So going back to those companies and what you've seen, is this something that has led to, you know, you are the president and founder of WIF. So was it all of this research that propelled you into starting your Women Initiative Foundation, or did that actually come first?
It was a fact, you know. It was not really, because in my generation, I hire a lot of women in my companies, industrial company and investment bank company. So I thought really, it was stupid, but I thought that everything is now behind us. And we did enough for women. And I discovered this fact that, you know, finally, we are very, really few women at the top level. And because to obtain more women at the top level, you must consider every level inside the company. And having a really equality policy to retain these talents inside the company. And it's good for the company, it's good for the society. And my research, and a lot of research in the US or in Europe, shows that really mentoring programs is a way of retaining the best talented people. And remember, women are 50% of the population and 50% of the consumers. So, you know, we can't stay only with men at the top level. I think diversity is really a richness for the company.
Great. Otherwise, you're missing out on 50% of what could be your top talent. Are you feeling that are companies making sure that they're having and or updating their gender equality policies, whether that's in Europe or in the United States? What are you seeing?
Alors, I think there is a lot to do still.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
But I think, in Europe, stereotypes are the same in Europe and in the US. And it's both stereotypes for men and women. But that's true that in Europe, for France, for instance, we have a strong family policy that you don't have in the US. And that makes a difference when you have children to have this strong family policy. So because I don't expect that you will have US regulation on this topic, I think it will be the responsibility of the companies to develop that, to help women to have more flexibility in their work, to help women to be high potential and having position even if they have babies.
Right. And Martine, you recently conducted a study.
Yes.
Through WIF. I think it was Stereotypes and Perception of Gender Equality in Global Corporations. What are some of the things that you found out? Maybe stats that weren't so surprising, but also some of the stats maybe that were.
Alors, in terms of the stereotypes in the US and in Europe are really similar. People, men and women, because our research, we look at men and women inside the company, not only women. It's also not surprising that women feel the discrimination in Europe and in the US. Instead of that, men think that the system promotes women more than men. Bon. Which is strange. And what also is surprised me a lot, and it's true in France and it's true in the US, it's not true in Germany and not in Italy, is you have a big difference between executive and senior executives. And senior executives have been considered behaving as men. And for men, it seems that they have qualities to be leader, and the same qualities for women are seen as a default, which I think struggle me because it means that when you have a woman leader, you think that she's tough, she's, and we have the same thing in France and in the US, and that's true that we have not these differences between Italian men and women and German men and women. So we must really consider this element, because it's not normal that when a woman succeeds, you feel that she behaves as men, but it's negative for them.
Right. With respect to men, what role do they play in all of this? So, I mean, you did mention that men see a system where women are promoted more. How can men and women work together? And, you know, it also begs the question about the getting men and women together in networking as opposed to separating. So what can companies do and what can we keep our eyes on to help?
Alors, for the companies, what is important is to include men in the gender equality policy or in the mentoring program. But for that, we need to be to have, let's say, a strong support from the CEO. If you have not a strong support from the CEO, it will be really difficult to have more men. If you have a strong support for the CEO, you must also explain, organize meeting, to make men understand that it's profitable for their company to have more diversity, and it's also a way of retaining the best talented people, and it's also a competitive advantage vis-à-vis the competitors, because you will have a more balanced company, and it's good for everybody to have that inside their company. But really, it must be organized and supported by the CEO. If not, you will have no impact. And in terms of networkings, what I am not against women networks, obviously, because in the foundation we have women networks. But I push every woman in our foundation to have go inside men and women networks, because don't forget the power is on the end of men, actually. So you must understand both networks, and you don't. It's important for you to be positive about all the networks and be part of that.
Right.
In the foundation, we are men and women mentors, but we help only women. And my conviction and my knowledge after all these books was to see that men are understand when they are mentors, how wonderful are their mentees, and they become the best sponsor for them. So really, to have this policy can change the minds.
Right, and it starts at the very top with the CEO.
Yes,
which is so important. Martine, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts. We're going to just take a quick break and give some love to our sponsor. I'd also like to mention that Women Worldwide is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. You can find all of our episodes at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all of the other great business podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with 2 M's.com.
Now back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Martine Latou and I were just chatting about gender equality in the workplace and some of the interesting findings from the study that she did at her foundation, WIF. So Martine, we were going over a lot about the workplace, making sure there is a gender equality policy, the importance of the CEO really embracing from the top what needs to be done, and the involvement of men. And, you know, there is this, everybody has to play their part, but at the same time, there's something about courage and confidence and finding your voice, you know, women in business. So how did you actually do this for yourself? And what do you want to say to Women Worldwide listeners about finding their confidence?
I think, you know, you must have, in any case, a positive attitude about discrimination. Because discrimination, in fact, everybody, to a certain extent, is discriminated. So, I mean, when you are beautiful or you are ugly, somewhere you are discriminated. So, what I think you must consider you as an asset. For your company, for the society, and also my way to be more confident was to take risk. Because when you take risk, in fact, finally, you and if you achieve what you wanted to achieve, you become more confident at each step. So, but the first thing that I say to women when I saw that they are not confident at all, is say, please consider what you did before speaking with me. Because a lot of time they achieve a lot of things, but they don't consider that it's important. But make them realize that they did a lot of wonderful things. It's the beginning of self-confidence. For instance, I remember my first mentee when she told me she was successful in the company was successful, but she told me after 6 months that she really accepted to say that she is an entrepreneur because of myself. And it was not true at all. She just saw what she achieved. And a lot of times, you know, women are too modest. And they must overcome that. They must work on themselves, not to become aggressive, but just to recognize that they are an asset for the company, for their family, for the society.
So it's celebrating what you achieve and the importance of what you've done. What happens when, you know, risk, if you take a risk and it works out, you feel really confident. What do you tell someone who takes the risk and it doesn't work out so well? How can they not be hard on themselves? What advice would you give there?
But you know, my conviction, if you learned a lot when you have failures. But if you never take a risk, you will never achieve your goals. You know, the life is risky. I don't mean that you must be too risky, but take challenges. A lot of times, women are too cautious. And it's because also their education, because I often say that we learn the boys to be let's say ambitious, and we learn to women to be cautious. But to be cautious, if you are too cautious, you can't achieve. And also, you must not be afraid to fail. You know, if you fail once, you try another challenge. And at the end, if you are consistent, hard worker, you achieve, especially if you work on teams and if you don't think that you will succeed alone. And sometimes, because a lot of women are underestimated in their jobs, when they take challenges and people help them, and finally, they succeed much more than men taking challenges. So my conviction is, don't be afraid. Be confident on you.
Don't be afraid and find your confidence. What are some, I mean, women, we talked earlier in the show about, you had mentioned senior leaders and really getting to the top. And as women are progressing in their careers, what are some of the characteristics that they need as senior leaders and executives? And of those characteristics, what do you think they might need to work on based on your research?
Alors, they need to learn to negotiate, because a lot of women don't ask too much. And to succeed in a career, you must consider that you must negotiate all the time. You know, in a, let's say, in a friendly manner, but you must be a negotiator. And you must be, so for instance, I say you must be demanding, because, and also really begin to network as soon as possible to get the opportunities, because we will not succeed if you stay in your room, you know. You must network, you must be open to differences, you must be interested in the job of other people. So you must act as a, you must know what is your company, understand what are the paths of success in your company. So, and you must also learn to market yourself, you know. So that's a lot of things that we can see in the research, that there is a problem for women to negotiate and to be demanding and to network.
Yeah, those are three really important areas. On the negotiating, do you feel that is a learned skill, something that can be taught in the classroom? Is it something that you can watch, or is negotiating more something that's in your DNA?
That's why I developed trainings in the foundation, like the program at Stanford for women entrepreneurs. And also I have two other projects for women executives between US and France. The first training project will be for millennials, women after 3 years of activity until 7 years of activity, what I call the Millennium's training project, to make the young women understand how to deal with difficulties inside companies and to understand better what is a leader and how to understand the path of success. And I have another project for next year, which is for senior executives. And I hope it will be with another worldwide US university and an engineering school in France, very well recognized engineering school in France, for women after at least 10 years of activity. So I really think that with this kind of trainings, with the mentoring program that we develop, not only for women entrepreneurs, but for women inside companies, it will help women to overcome this kind of cultural differences.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned difficulties within the workplace, or if you're an entrepreneur. So you, as an entrepreneur now, how do you handle difficulties, or what is your mindset or your approach to tackling a challenge?
When, you know, I got difficulties all along my business life. But what I learned is, once again, not to change my goal, let's say I work consistently. I try to ask when I have major difficulties, ask people to help me, and it works. And I like to be always to be positive, because it does not help you when you think that it's you will have too many difficulties. So what I learned all along my business life is really to accept to fail sometimes, but always to stay my goal, to work consistently, and to work on teams, and also trying to not to think that I have only a business life, but a balanced life.
Yes, a balanced life is so important. You know, the point you made about always being positive, and I agree. I would much rather focus on the positive and move forward. But what do you do when so many folks around you, whether you're in the business setting or maybe you have relationships with people who aren't as positive? How do you not let that affect your own positivity?
Well, at the beginning, let's say, and it's normal, when you are younger, it affects you to a certain extent to have negative people around you. After, the best is to avoid these people, not to consider that they must interfere too much in your life, because negative people will stay negative. So it can be men, it can be women, but the negative people often stay negative. So you must be positive, try to obviously to understand why they are so negative, but don't it's normal to be jealous. For these people, they are sometimes jealous. They don't like that you succeed. And my now, you know, I consider that in the same time, you must be positive for other people, for a lot of other people. But for the negative people, the best is to avoid them.
Right.
And even if you're in your boss, but that's true that sometimes we are obliged to work with the person that we consider that he or she is negative. But in the maximum, avoid them.
Right. And when you mentioned jealousy. So when you were rising through the ranks and becoming one of the first female investment bankers in France, how were women treating you? I'm just curious, were they supportive of what you were doing, or they weren't really present because you were more in a male world in a company? But what were women thinking? Was it jealousy? Was it support?
Yeah. To be honest, at the beginning, the women who were older than myself were not supporters.
Right.
But really it changed after. I hired a lot of women, and the women at my age, I got a lot of friends in the business life, men and women. And, you know, I consider that finally women's friendship is wonderful, like men's friendship. But, you know, I did not have too much this problem because it was really before my age, you know. That's true that I got two or three women who are really not supportive at the beginning. It was strange, to be frank. But, you know, you must accept that, you know, everybody can't love you, you know.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, I say to my children, your mother loves you, your father loves you, a lot of people love you, but not everybody will love you.
It's true. You have to accept that. Absolutely. So on the positive note, and staying positive and feeding your soul with inspiration, what do you look to? What resources do you turn to so you feel inspired and motivated to always move forward?
I love development. So that when I have a lot of projects, like for my Women Initiative Foundation, I feel really lucky to have all the this US, Canadian development, European projects. And for me, it's really, you know, when you have the foundation, every day you help women. So, you know, it's rewarding. It's rewarding for you because you learn a lot from others. It's rewarding because you know that you help to a certain extent the society to be more balanced. And so for me, you know, it's my motivation. My motivation is to promote women in business. And I have a lot to do to play even a small role.
Well, we love that you are helping women every single day. Martine, if you could give advice to your younger self, what would you say?
Alors, I will say be proud of yourself and be confident in both your personal and professional lives. Know that you represent 50% of the population and 50% of consumers. Your role can be transformative to create a more balanced society and a stronger economy. Be demanding and negotiate. Work in teams. And begin to network as soon as possible to get the opportunities. But at the end, choose the career path you will like the most, because it's important to be happy in your work.
Yes, very happy. That's great advice. Okay, last question, and it is super easy. Where can people find out more about you, your foundation, and your book?
They can go to my site, www.womeninitiativefoundation.com.
Martine, thank you so much. It was lovely chatting with you. We really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your incredible journey as one of the first female investment bankers in France and all that you've been doing, helping women and mentoring them through the WIF. We've learned so much from you today. So thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. And I'd also like to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. And if you have a moment, please let us know your feedback about the show. We'd love to hear from you. You can rate us on iTunes. Okay, WW friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.